Nadia Bolz Weber calls for a sexual reformation in her latest book, Shameless. How does her reformation compare with the truths rediscovered during the 16th century Reformation? I've written a review of Shameless in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button on the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Andrew Abraham details his journey from Catholic priest to Lutheran pastor. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Well, he healed. This story in Mark's Gospel of, we call it the healing of Jairus' daughter, but it is in fact not a healing. Jesus arrives too late for a healing. He does a resurrection of Jairus' daughter. It's one of those famous stories of Jesus saying, yes, I will come, and then he gets waylaid, and then he shows up apparently too late. It's kind of like the raising of Lazarus too, and he shows that death is to him but sleep. In fact, he even says that the little girl is not dead. She is merely asleep. Jairus approaches him. What does Jairus expect? What does he believe about Jesus at the beginning, and what does he believe about Jesus at the end? We're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson. Today, it's Jesus raising Jairus' daughter in Mark chapter 5. Pastor Tom Baker joins us on this Tuesday afternoon. He is host of a radio program called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
What did this man Jairus, where he's called a leader of the synagogue, what did he believe about Jesus when he came with his request?
I believe that Jairus was in the majority of individuals who believed that Jesus was a man of power, that he could do miracles and such, but he didn't believe at that point that he is God. Even though he fell at his Jesus' feet, it isn't the word used for worship. So it reminds me of the people who, after the feeding of the 5,000, they were running after Jesus because they thought he would be a temporal king. And I think Jairus was of that nature also. Specifically, when he says in verse 23 of Mark 5, "Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." There is nothing in there about eternal salvation, the forgiveness of sins, etc. So at this point, I would say Jairus, he knew pretty well a lot of the miracles that Jesus was doing and considered him to be a man of power, a man of God, but not God himself.
What did it mean that Jairus is called a ruler of the synagogue?
Yes. If we're going to update that to our situation, a synagogue had very important functions, which today we would place under a pastor or an elder. He was kind of a combination of both. He made arrangements for the synagogue worship services. He might ask certain people to be preaching. He wasn't necessarily always the one doing the sermon. Remember that time Jesus came to Nazareth, he ended up preaching because they referred to him as a rabbi. So this would be a very important man in the city of Capernaum, and he therefore would be not looking up to other people, but people would be looking up to him. So for God to move him to come to Jesus and ask for healing was a first step in the work of Jesus that was going to be leading Jairus to believe that he was more than just a man of God. He was the Son of God coming to bring salvation.
So tell us the story of what happens here with Jairus.
When Jesus had crossed in the boat to the other side, a great people gathered around him, and of course, he first meets Jairus. He implores him earnestly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. come and lay your hands on her so that she may be well and live. Jesus went with him. Now, this kind of reminds me of Lazarus. The disciples heard that Lazarus was very sick. Jesus says, no, he died. And then they say, well, why do we have to go there then if he's died? And Jesus still takes 3 days to get there. It's kind of like, and the CPH had a good point on this in reading this, we think Jesus more times is like the tortoise rather than the hare. He kind of takes his time, but he always has a reason. The reason he waited the days for Lazarus is in that day, a person was not considered truly dead until he had been in the grave an amount of time that Jesus had not yet been there. Similarly here, he kind of stops in the process of going with Jairus and heals a woman who had an illness for 12 years. Now, it's kind of interesting. The illness was 12 years. Jairus' daughter is 12 years old. And so he takes time and says to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. Because all she felt is she needed to touch the garments of Jesus. But while he was still speaking to her, from the ruler's house, Jairus' house, some came and said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher? Notice they use the term teacher, not Savior or Lord, any further. Now, Jesus overheard them saying that in verse 36. And he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not fear, only believe. And when he got to the house of Jairus, he allowed no one to follow him in except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. Because they came to the house of the ruler and the people had a great commotion. They were weeping and wailing loudly. Now, the reason that they're doing that, in that day, each culture has a different way of showing remorse and grief. And you could actually hire people who would be coming to the funeral to weep and wail loudly. So whether or not these were hired people or possibly, of course, the family of Jairus, he was well known, being a synagogue ruler, Jesus comes into the commotion and says, why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping. Now, the next verse is really important. And they laughed at him. So these people also were not considering him to be God or the Savior or the Messiah. Maybe he had done some miracles before, but they were laughing at him when he said she was just sleeping because they had had their people look at her and knew she was dead, that this was the daughter. Now, he put them all outside and only took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. Now, why that? It's very clear that though at times Jesus would make a public display of a miracle, there's no doubt that people even then would not consider him to be the Messiah. The Pharisees, they saw the miracles. In fact, they even saw and heard that Lazarus had raised from the dead. They believed it to be a trick of Beelzebub, the devil. So, going inside to where the girl was, he was therefore only going to take those who were believing that he at least could heal her and maybe bring her back from the dead. So he put them all outside, And as indicated, only the father, the mother, and his disciples who were with them went where the child was. Then, taking her by the hand, so now he's touching her, he says, Talitha kumai. And that's Aramaic, which means, little girl, I say to you, arise. Verse 42, immediately the girl got up and began walking. And it's here where we're told she is 12 years of age, the same number of years that the woman had with the illness. And they were immediately overcome with amazement. But then he says something very interesting. Jesus strictly charges them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. Now, obviously, there's people outside. They saw Jesus, the parents, disciples go in. They're aware that obviously he's going to be coming out. And then when the daughter comes out, aren't they going to know that he raised her from the dead? What does he strictly charge them that no one should know about this? What he's dealing with, this is still early in his ministry. This is only the fifth chapter of Mark. Jesus did not want to advance toward the cross until he had had the opportunity to share the message of salvation with many people. There's even an occasion when the disciples come to him and say, all the people are looking for you to help heal them. And Jesus says, no, I need to preach to the other cities, for this is the reason I came. So it's not a passage where Jesus says, strictly charging them, no one should know this, that we ought to put up on our church doors. Because our sign should read, tell everyone what Jesus has done. In fact, even at the Transfiguration, which is very close to the time of his crucifixion and resurrection, Jesus tells the disciples there not to tell anyone what had happened at the Transfiguration until after he had risen from the dead. Now, they may not have understood all of this because they were totally perplexed when he was crucified and totally surprised when he rose from the dead. And joy did not come into their hearts until they heard his words, peace be with you. So that's the background of the passage that the Sunday school teachers need to teach. And I'll tell you where the problem's going to be. The children, I'm sure a number of them have had close relatives, maybe even a father, a mother, a grandmother, a grandfather die. And they're wondering, well, if Jesus healed Jairus's daughter, why doesn't he raise grandma or grandpa from the dead? Is it because we don't have enough faith? Notice clearly that what Jesus is asking for is trust in him. There is no promise anywhere in the Bible that our grandfathers, grandmothers, or other loved ones who have died will be raised from the dead prior to the day of judgment. So that's kind of a unique thing that happens in Jesus' ministry in fulfillment of the Old Testament passages. You want to know who the Messiah is? The blind are going to see, the deaf are going to hear, the mute are going to speak, the lame are going to walk, and the dead are going to be raised. So we have other promises to give to Christians who are experiencing grief at a time of death. As the apostle says, yes, we grieve, but not as those who have no hope. Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead. All of our relatives who die, who have faith in Jesus Christ, will also be raised from the dead. And that is our comfort, and not only raised from the dead, but be placed in a heavenly wonder of bliss where no sickness is, no death is, etc. Jairus, Lazarus, I'd even go back to the widow whose son Elijah raised from the dead, all were pointing forward to what is going to happen when the Messiah dies on the cross, raises himself from the dead, and becomes what the Bible says is the first fruits. That means he's the basis of all other resurrections from the dead, especially believers who will then be experiencing even better than what we have here on earth. So we live by faith. And the way that the Sunday school teachers can comfort the students is to remind them of the promises that God is providing them so that they do not weep as those who have no hope. And even in their worst of situations, God promises, Romans 8:28, that all things will work together to their good. So we want the children to come to an understanding of trusting the promises given to us by the Holy Trinity because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. As Jesus said once to his disciples, "You're asking me about the Father? Well, you've seen me, you see the Father. And I and the Father are one." He's not saying they're not two distinct persons, but he's saying that their thinking is so alike that whatever the Son thinks of the children, so also does God the Father. And therefore, we would encourage them to cling to the baptismal promises in which they were adopted into the family of God. And as a child of God, God will never break his promises.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on Jesus raising Jairus' daughter in Mark chapter 5. He says, "The child is not dead, but merely asleep." What in the world does that mean?
Oh no! Another Lutheran dirge and other myths.
Pastor Will Whedon, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, talking about this year's hymn sing at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
We'll be doing some myth busting during our hymn sing. Double dare anyone to participate and walk away thinking Lutherans sing dirges. From God's Own Child to Lord Thee I Love. From Dear Christians One and All Rejoice to In Thee Is Gladness. Oh yeah. Lots of joy bursting out in song all over the place. And so sorry, not a dirge in sight. Real Lutheran church music.
Join Pastor Will Whedon and Issues Etc. listeners from around the world for a hymn sing at our one and only Making the Case conference in 2019. Making the Case is Friday, June 7th and Saturday, June 8th on the campus of Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more about the premier conference for Christian laity at issuesetc.org.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Come, Holy Spirit, Lord and Comforter. With words of truth, our feeble faith assure. These words open Mark Preuss's new Pentecost hymn for the Lutheran Church, available exclusively in the Lutheran Witness. Grab the May issue of the Missouri Synod's flagship magazine and dig into what the Bible and Lutheran theology have to say about the Holy Spirit, who He is, how He works, and what He wants for your life. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Relevant worship isn't about trying to look and act like the rest of the world to appeal to the culture around us, but relevant worship is about Christ. Hope Lutheran Church of Birmingham brings you truly relevant worship, where sinners gather to hear God's word and receive His gifts of forgiveness and peace. Visit us online at hopebham.org. That's hope, bham.org or give us a call at 205-956-1930. We'll see you Sunday.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Gloria Day Lutheran, Escondido, California. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Freeburg, Illinois. St. Peter Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana. Zion Lutheran, Dexter, Iowa. Epiphany Lutheran, Door, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, International Falls, Minnesota. Faith Lutheran, Azona, Texas. Messiah Lutheran, Kenosha, Wisconsin. Parkland Lutheran, Tacoma, Washington. Christ Lutheran, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Trinity Lutheran, Tryon, North Carolina. And Holy Cross Lutheran, Albany, Oregon. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on this Tuesday afternoon, Jesus raising Jairus' daughter in Mark chapter 5. I want to come back to something Jesus says there in the course of that story that you told, Tom. That is, the little girl is not dead. She is only asleep. What is he saying?
It's kind of interesting, and I did not know this until I did the study, and I believe it came out of the Concordia Publishing House material. A cemetery in the Greek means a sleeping place. I guess I wasn't aware of that. Maybe I learned it some time ago. But for Jesus, there's no problem in raising someone from the dead any more than we will raise somebody from sleep. Like, I may take a nap and I tell my wife, wake me up in about 45 minutes. And sure enough, at 45 minutes, she's calling my name and awaking me up. This is really fascinating that almost all people in the world say they're going to be buried in a cemetery. And they don't realize it means a sleeping place in the Greek, which means for many Christians, what do they have? A sleep in Jesus, which means only the body is asleep in the ground, at rest, because the spirit of the person who's a believer is already with Jesus in the interim, that is the time between their personal death and the day of judgment, awaiting the time when the body will be rejoined to the spirit. And so, from Jesus' point of view, waking us up on the day of judgment is no more difficult for God than it is for us to wake up someone who's asleep in bed.
He says to Jairus, when the news is delivered of the child's death, that he should not fear but believe. What is Jesus telling Jairus?
Every time the word faith is used, and that is the word faith here, it's translated as belief, faith, or trust, and it always has the same object. He's not asking Jairus just to believe that he's powerful enough to even raise her from the dead. But once he says to believe to Jairus that I'm able to raise her from the dead, that indicates that in Jairus' mind, this is just not a man of God. This appears to be God himself. And being a ruler of the synagogue, he would have been well aware of the many Old Testament passages that are noting the Messiah coming. I did a recent study on this at a congregation and came up with 240 Old Testament passages where in the New Testament they are specifically fulfilled. Jairus would have known a number of these, and he would have known Psalm 23, which many will be using on Good Shepherd Sunday, where it talks about that we will be even in the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. For Jesus to look at him and say, believe, when they're now on a different destination. Before they were just going to heal her. Now they're going to raise her from the dead. And the fact that Jesus took both the mother and the father into the room and not the unbelievers, kept them out, indicates to me that Jairus did have a trust that Jesus would raise him from the dead. And having raised her from the dead, Jesus would be recognized as much more than a man of miracles, a powerful man. No, this is the Savior. This is the Messiah. And we're told that many in the synagogues and rulers of the synagogues believed in Jesus Christ and were saved.
Can we conclude that the faith, so to speak, of Jairus, from the beginning of this story to the end of this story, has changed?
Absolutely. The faith before was that Jesus could do some great healing. For example, you may be going into surgery for some reason or another, and you have faith in your doctor. Well, you don't have faith that you're not going to die. You don't know that. But in this case, the faith that Jairus had to continue to go with Jesus once he heard his daughter was dead, that shows a different kind of faith than just that Jesus was a powerful healer. No, now he holds the power of life and death. And who alone from the Old Testament holds the power of life and death? It is only God.
Jesus performs other resurrections. He raises Lazarus. He raises the widow's son at Nain, this girl, and others. How are those resurrections different than the resurrection we have been promised on the last day when Christ returns?
Those are what we would call temporal resurrections because they're done while earth is still here. And the day of judgment, there's going to be a great cataclysm event where there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth, and the resurrection that occurs at that time will be a permanent resurrection. Lazarus isn't around. He died. The widow's children died. In other words, when Jesus rose people from the dead, it wasn't a permanent resurrection in the sense that they would never die again. No. They came to death. Whereas in our case, when we're raised on the last day, although it's not referred to as permanent, it's referred to as eternal. We become like the angels. The angels are not eternal, only God is. The angels and us are semi-eternal, which means we had a beginning, but in heaven we will have no ending at all.
So can you explain, we didn't deal in any detail with the intervening story that's told there in Mark because it's not part of the text we're looking at for preparation, but I can only imagine that as Jesus is responding to what for Jairus is an emergency, for him to stop in the road to deal with this woman who had this disease for 12 years would have seemed just completely out of order to everyone. This little girl is at death's doorstep and he pauses to heal this woman. What are your thoughts there, Tom?
It's an attitude that we as Christians should have. I am working with four congregations that are quite a distance from St. Louis, and I had a call that I needed to be at one last Thursday in order to meet with someone who is near death and also do a baptism in a nursing home. And that night, I was looking forward to hearing my grandson do his confirmation tests with 40 other students at St. Paul de Pere. Now, I knew I would still see him be confirmed on Saturday when they had the service, but I was, you know, thinking maybe I can get back in time. Well, when I got there, circumstances were such that I had a more instant priority of dealing with a death dealing with an individual in the nursing home who had decided to be baptized, and we spent some time with them. I had no problems missing my grandson's confirmation teaching and questioning, even though I would have enjoyed, I'm sure, being there, because God sets the priorities. Here's Jesus walking along to Jairus's house, and the father puts in front of him a woman with a hemorrhage that needs healing. And I don't see any reason why Jesus would not have stopped at that point, because he had the opportunity once more to say who he was, even though he pretended, "Who touched me?" But then, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." And it seems to me, therefore, that that's an attitude we ought to have. Sure, we've got appointments, we've got schedules, but a lot of times God changes things, and therefore we just go along with it because God is in charge, and we trust the decisions that he is making will always work out for our good.
Finally, Tom, what's the simple law and gospel of this story of the healing of Jairus' daughter?
Yeah, the simple law is many people think that, boy, if I go to church, if I pray a lot, if I read the Bible, then it'll heal me of my diseases. And then all of a sudden that doesn't happen. Recently, I have been meeting with people who haven't been coming to church for some reason, and a lot of times it's something along the lines like that where God seems to have failed them. Well, the good news is that God never fails you. You're just looking at the wrong promises. And if you look at the proper promises, where you'll never have a temptation beyond your ability to endure when you turn to the Lord, and the hundreds of other promises, the good news to the children is, if you're going through a tough time, then speak to your parents, your Sunday school teacher, or even your pastor to find out what Bible verses are best. In fact, I don't mind people buying these books that have Bible verses on the basis of topics, like if you're ill, if you're losing your house, if someone close to you died, and then they have a whole list of Bible verses. And guess what? All of them are, they're promises from the Holy Trinity to help you cope with whatever you're facing here on earth.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to turn to the Old Testament prophet Job and his story. Dr. Christopher Mitchell will be our guest. What's the message that Job finally tells at the end of his long ordeal? What is the final message for those who see his story in the Old Testament? We'll answer that question after this.
LCMS Rural and Small Town Mission exists to support and encourage congregations in rural and small town settings. In partnership with LCMS districts, RSTM is uniquely positioned to make a major impact in revitalization support, community engagement and outreach training, congregational partnership development, and worker support through providing and developing resources geared specifically to rural and small town congregations. Check us out at lcms.org/RSTM or give us a call at our office. We're here to help.
Keeping the message straight, getting the message out. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Emmanuel Press is a Lutheran-owned business in Fort Wayne, Indiana, in operation since 2004. That's 15 years of publishing liturgical and devotional books, 15 years of collaborating with Lutheran authors, artists, and translators. Thanks to our loyal customers and Issues Etc., we look forward to many more years of confessing and teaching the Christian faith. Visit us online at emmanuelpress.us. emmanuelpress.us.
Are you a high school guy or girl interested in theology and thinking about becoming a pastor or deaconess? Christ Academy High School at Concordia Theological Seminary is the thing for you. Spend 2 weeks worshiping and learning like a seminary student while having fun and building lasting friendships. Join us this summer at Christ Academy from June 16th to the 29th. Visit ctsfw.edu/ca for more info.